Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to the program today. And each week I get on the radio here and I let people understand what the Bible is actually saying. And unfortunately, it's something different that's being taught by many churches today. That's why I feel such a need to get out here and let people know this information. A lot of Christians are confused when I say something like that. A lot of people ask me, do I even consider myself a Christian? And I am clear and to the point in letting people know that Christianity today, what's promoted by most churches today, I didn't say all, I said most, is not what the Bible is teaching. It's not following the example Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, told us how to live. Now, many people hear, why do you say Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, and why don't you just say Jesus? Well, Yeshua is the son of our wonderful creator, Yahweh. And in Hebrew, names mean something. So the name of our Creator is Yahweh, and Yeshua means the salvation of Yahweh. And we are saved only through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. That's it. I'm not claiming that we're saved by works. I'm not claiming we can earn our salvation through something we do. Only we were set free from death row by the blood of Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. Now, why I say the one they call Jesus is because many people today refer to this Messiah, who was Jewish and had a Jewish name, Yeshua, Jesus. It is a thought that Jesus is the translation of Yeshua. It is not. If you look in the King James Version, which is the oldest Bible that many people use today, and from a popular standpoint, there are some that are older, it doesn't even say Jesus in that Bible. It says Jesus, I-E-S-U-S. So if you translate Yeshua, you get Joshua. But regardless of the names, I say Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, so everyone knows who we are talking about. We are talking about the same person. Now, some people could say the Hebrew Yeshua is different from the Greek Jesus. And I will just say the Bible Messiah is different than the Savior that's being promoted today in the Christian church. The Savior of the Bible, the Messiah Yeshua, taught us a way to live and told us we will be blessed abundantly for living that way. So we're still saved by His blood and only by His blood, but He gave us a set of guidelines on how to live our lives. So the Messiah of the Bible, Yeshua, the Savior, the true Savior, says, yes, you have grace and mercy through me. You were saved by my sacrifice and my blood. And this is what I want in return. Here is how I would want you to live. To get that grace and mercy, that I would extend it to those that have a desire to follow me, to follow my way. So those people that want to follow the true Messiah of the Bible have a desire to learn what it says and live that way. Now, when you get into the Greek Jesus or the Jesus that's promoted by Christianity today, it's a whole different ballpark. The Christianity Jesus that's promoted today says, yes, you were saved by my blood. You were saved by my grace and mercy. I set you free from death row. However, you don't have to follow me. You don't have to do as I say. You don't have to listen to my guidelines and instructions. You're set free from all of that, and you can now live any way that your flesh desires. So in both scenarios, you're saved through the blood of Messiah. Hallelujah, He came to save us all. But in one scenario, we have a desire to follow the way He planned for us, which is called and referred to in Scripture as the narrow path. And with that narrow path comes many blessings. And we're not following that way for those blessings. We're following it because we know He died for us and we want to follow Him. Now you have the Christian Jesus, or the Christianity today, the Jesus Christianity today, that was made up by the Catholic Church and then separated even more so. So now you have first a differentiation of you had the first Catholic emperors that come along and they decided to separate Christianity from Judaism when you cannot. Christianity should be a sect of Judaism. And Judaism is a part of the way of Messiah and is only one of the 12 tribes. You don't have to be Jewish to follow the Jewish way, and you don't have to be one of the original believers of the Old Testament to follow the ways of the Bible. Every single one of us has been set free by Yeshua Messiah. And now, when you accept Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, as Messiah, you automatically become what the Bible refers to as Israel. There's no such thing as a believing Gentile. That's an oxymoron. According to the Bible, a Gentile is somebody who does not believe in Yeshua. A Gentile is a pagan, is a heathen. We often think a Gentile means a non-Jewish person. No, it means you do not believe in the Bible at all. When you believe in the Bible, when you believe in Yeshua, you now become Israel. And now when the Bible says Israel is responsible to keep my guidelines and instructions, well, now you are responsible to keep the guidelines and instructions that Yeshua, the Messiah and true Savior, desired for us to follow. Now, what are the consequences of not keeping those guidelines and instructions? Are we not saved if we're not keeping those guidelines and instructions? Here's where many people run into an issue with this topic of grace versus law. Grace does not come versus law. What the Bible says is it's grace with law. When you accept Yeshua as Messiah and you desire to follow his ways, and I say that again, and you desire to follow his ways, even if you miss the mark, you have his grace because you're desiring to keep the law, the guidelines and instructions of our wonderful creator, known as the Torah, as found out in the first five books in the Bible, known also as the Old Testament. So when you desire to keep the guidelines and instructions of our creator, even if you fall short, you have grace. That is a beautiful, wonderful blessing that he gives us. Grace is not an excuse to keep living against his ways. It's not a reason to go against it. So we're not saved by works. We're saved by Messiah, but we're blessed by keeping the works. The purpose of the guidelines and instructions found in the original covenant, also known as the Old Testament, was never to give us salvation, but to teach us how to live. Now, you take on the other side, the Christian Jesus or Christianity today, and you see what they say of freeing people up. And so what are the consequences of not following the ways our Creator taught us how to live, or the way he wanted us to live? Well, the Bible's very clear. It's cursings versus blessings. We are blessed for following one thing, and the opposite of a blessing is a curse. We are cursed for not keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And if the desire is not there to do so, because many Christians today just do not do it because they're deceived. The enemy deceived them. And they think they're doing the right thing, but they're just not. They're deceived. But when you know what to do and you do not do it, as it says in James 4:17, to know good and not do it, to him it is sin. So many Christians do not know. They think they're doing what they need to do. But according to the ways of the Bible, they're not. In fact, they're living against Scripture. So it says in the book of 1 John, it says, sin is transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. There was only one that can keep it all. Only one that can be perfect. So yes, we are all sinners. But where is our heart with sinning? Do we repent and do we desire to get it right next time? And do we feel terrible when we sin? Or do we make an excuse and say, well, he died for us, and he took our sins to the cross, so we can do whatever we want now according to our flesh, and we're just fine, and it doesn't make a difference anymore. No. Yeshua Messiah not only came to set us free, he came to live out the idea in Scripture that says in Deuteronomy, it is for us to not add or take away from our Creator's instructions, but keep them. Do not add or take away, but keep them. But follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And don't do anything different. And that's how we can be blessed. Now, here's a way that Christianity teaches different that many people get confused upon. I'll give you a, a verse that many people stumble upon, and it's John 1:17. John 1:17 says, "For the Torah was given through Moses, but grace and truth came to Yeshua Messiah." Yes, we understand, folks, the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. And the Torah is not a Jewish thing. The Torah is not an Old Testament thing. The Torah is not a thing that was done away with. The Torah, it comes down to a Bible thing. It comes down to a Yahweh thing. It comes down to a God thing. God it gave you paragraphs and paragraphs of words of how to live your life. And every single person that accepts Yeshua as Messiah or Jesus as their Savior should be listening and desiring to follow the guidelines and instructions that he set forth. To not go against it and not live against it. And he said, "My yoke shall be easy. My guidelines and instructions shall not be burdensome. And if you love me, you will desire to keep them." From what I'm seeing, is many Christians believe that the Old Testament was written by Moses, some man. But the New Testament was written by the hand of their Jesus, the Christian Jesus. And he did away with what Moses wrote. Folks, you got it all wrong if you think that's what the case is. The guidelines and instructions of our Creator were written very much by our Creator. And Moses was the messenger. And Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, confirmed that this is how we shall live. By the instructions that his Father, Yahweh, set forth. Not to live against it. So we have this issue, and we think about the issue that Yeshua had. And we'll use the fourth commandment as an example, because this is one that so many Christians often do away with or miss. They desire to keep, of the first 10 commandments, they only desire to keep 9. And then they don't even keep 9, they dummy it down to 2. And there's, first of all, there's even more than 10 that they don't even know. They don't even know all 10. They automatically exclude the fourth commandment, which says, "Thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy." And they justify it by saying, "Well, we could do whatever we want now. We can go ahead and eat any food we want. We can go ahead and we could live any way we want. We could worship on any day we want. We don't have to follow what the guidelines and instructions calls an abomination. We could partake with those things. We can mingle the seed. We can continually do whatever we want." But that's not what the Bible says, and that's not what the message of the Bible is, folks. The Bible is clear, and there's no gray areas in Scripture. The Scriptures are black and white. It's only our great thinking that keeps us from following the guidelines and instructions of the ways of our Messiah. It says in Ezekiel 33:11, "I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live, so they can have life." Now, there are people that will claim that there's one set of instructions for Jewish people and there's another set of instructions for non-Jewish people. And my answer to that is the Jewish people was only one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And whether you are one of those other dispersed tribes or not does not make a difference. It's one set of instructions for everyone that desires to follow the ways of our Messiah. And that is the narrow path that leads to the narrow gate, and that narrow gate is Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. That's it. And that narrow path is also referred to as Torah, which the New Testament will call as the schoolmaster, to teach us what sin is. Well, we should desire to learn what sin is so we know we're not doing it. So we could mark ourselves and check ourselves to know if we're going off the wrong track and we're doing something wrong. And in Jeremiah, when it says that we had a new law or a new covenant or something was changed, the only thing that was changed was the location of it, not what it was. The instructions, the location of those instructions were to no longer be on paper. They are now to be on our heart. Where we know it by heart. We desire it by heart. We know it like our name. The Bible says this. When Yeshua was being tempted by the enemy, you know, what did he do? He quoted Scripture. He knew what the Bible said. He didn't say those Scriptures don't matter. And you know what Scripture he quoted? The renewed covenant wasn't written yet. It was Old Testament covenant. The Old Testament, that's what Yeshua was quoting to the enemy. And that's what we need to do. We need to know the Scriptures. They need to be on our heart. The law, the guidelines, the instructions of our Creator, the Torah, need to be on our heart so we know it. So when we get tempted, we go to Scripture, which is the words of our Creator. When we were set free by the blood of Messiah, we weren't set free to go on our own without nothing. No, he equipped us with one of the greatest weapons, one of the greatest things, one of the greatest shields that we could have, and that is his word. And his word is something we need to be in daily, and something we need to know and understand and look at and read and understand and do on a regular basis if we truly want to have the grace and the mercy and the salvation of Yeshua, the ultimate free gift that comes with, not just for the amazing, beautiful, wonderful kingdom that we have set forth and the treasure was stored up in heaven, but to get by now today, to get here and do what we're called to do and go and proclaim the good news to those that have not found it yet, to the lost. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to sit back and listen to our flesh and make excuses and saying it's okay to live any way we want. No, he's given us guidelines and instructions how to do something. He says we'll be blessed for doing something. He says they will not be burdens for doing them. And we do them and we follow them. And we stop fearing and worrying about man's ways and man's things. And we start thinking about our wonderful Creator's ways and the things that he desires of us. And the way he tells us to live. And what he wants us to do. We have so much fear today of man and man's ways. That we fear man more than we fear our Creator. If our Creator says don't do something, guess what that means? Do not do it. And if he says to do something, it means to do it. Do not add or take away, but keep my guidelines and instructions. In the Bible, he often talks about doing good in a good way. And that good way is the guidelines and instructions that Yeshua spoke about over and over again in the scripture. And it even says in the book of Timothy that all scripture is profitable for man. And when they wrote that, there was no such thing as a New Testament. So I come on the radio here and I desire for Christians who have a wonderful heart and truly love the Christian, Greek, Jesus, or the Hebraic, Yeshua. They have such a desire. I know some people that are willing to die. There are people that did die for Yeshua, Messiah. For him dying for us in return, they would be willing to die for him. I know people that would do that. But that still does not negate the fact that many people are deceived and don't understand what sin is and don't understand that they are sinners, that they're willfully sinning because they're not educated. They have a lack of knowledge, and the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge of what the Bible truly says. And the people even teaching this are deceived because they're teaching this message of grace versus law, when no, it's grace with law. They go together. You can't separate them and do one or the other. So we all have a great opportunity to repent. Repent for living in sin. Repent for living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Repent for going against his word. And get right with his word. And start experiencing all that he has in store for us. To do the job he truly called us to do and how to do it. And yes, the blessings are just a benefit. You know, beyond the blessings we get now, we're storing our treasures up in heaven. Beyond the blessings we're getting up here now. But you know what? This is our desire. And whenever somebody lives against what they were created for, there's going to be major consequences, not only in the in what the appearance is or what actually happens, but in our heart. We're going to know we're not fulfilling our destiny. We're not living according to what he wanted us to do. We stop looking on the outside and what man thinks of us and what man wants of us. And we start looking on the inside and think of what our Creator wants of us. And what he created us for. And how he told us to do certain things. And then we don't care how we look according to society. We could be so faithful. We could pray in public. And we don't care that we look different. That everyone's running around and partaking in things that are unholy. But we could be praying and doing part of things that are set apart from those unholy things. And we have a desire to follow his ways. And we could find the inner joy instead of an outer happiness. See, happiness is based on something that happens in the world. That's where we get the understanding of happy or happen. It's something that happens that determines our mood. But joy is not something from the outside or from somebody else. It's something that comes from the inside. And it's something that nobody could steal. It's something, regardless of how the world outside of us is acting, we have a certain joy within us that nobody could take away. And nobody's going to take away. And that's the joy that comes along knowing that not only do we have this amazing, wonderful Messiah who died for us and set us free from death row, but he left us. He loved us so much to leave us with these instructions and guidelines of how to live our lives. How to live our lives in a way that we would always have joy no matter what's going on in the world. No matter even if we're getting persecuted and tortured, we could still have that inner joy knowing that we have a relationship with our wonderful Messiah. And that's what it ultimately comes down to, folks. It comes down to a relationship. It's a relationship with our Messiah and our Creator. And we need to continually improve and work on that relationship and not take it for granted and let things go wayward. And next thing you know, our relationship is not strong and the enemy comes and he just destroys us. No, we need to be aware and understand that the enemy's out there and he wants to destroy us. But when we have a strong, solid relationship that comes from having a good foundation or a positive, strong foundation, and that comes with having a good understanding of what Scripture says, then when some man tries to teach us against what the Bible says, we could say, wait a second, that's not what my Bible says. You know, the Messiah, whether you want to refer to him as the Jewish Messiah of Yeshua or the Greek Messiah of Jesus, the person that is your Savior, that you're desiring to follow, says, if you love me, you will follow my ways. And the way that the church is teaching today is not going according to the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about celebrating pagan feast days and Christmas and Easter. You see, as a Christian will say, well, I don't celebrate Halloween because it's pagan. Well, I'm telling you, if you look at the history, Easter and Christmas are more pagan than Halloween. But because the church throws up a tree and says it's okay or has some eggs that they hide for kids to find, people have no problem bringing their children to an Easter or Christmas party at their church. But Halloween, they don't want anything to do with. And now they're even changing it. They're trying to match Halloween up with some harvest festival or something else and trying to create another pagan holiday for Christians to follow that go against the world. See, the enemy is at work lurking here, folks. The Bible says there are appointed times that we should be keeping according to our Creator's calendar. But we listen to the church's calendar that promotes paganism. And it gets against what the Bible says. And if this message is making you feel uncomfortable as a Christian, good, it should. And keep listening. And check the facts, folks. Test everything as the Scriptures tell us. We, as believers, have been deceived. And the enemy is behind us. And he's using kind-hearted, loving pastors and preachers and friends and family to do the deception. And no, they are not wolves in sheep's clothing. They are misguided, misdirected people that have been deceived by the enemy that continue to teach a message that goes against the Bible and against Scripture. Yes, folks, I'll say it again. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the blood of Messiah. We don't keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, known as the Torah, to be saved. We should be keeping them because we are saved. Nowhere in an accurate translation of Scripture does it say we are no longer to keep what the Bible says to keep or not do what the Bible says to do. So now it arises the question is, well, the Bible says to do a lot, so what? Should we do everything or should we just do some things? And that's a wonderful question. And the answer is, according to the Bible, is we should be following and doing everything we are capable of doing, whether if our flesh enjoys it or not. Everything our flesh is capable of doing. I am a man. There's many scriptures in the Bible that says this is how a man should live, this is how a man should think, and this is what a man should do and not do. I have the opportunity to follow those because I'm a man. I'm not a farmer. I don't have a farm. So in the Scripture when it says this is what farmers should do, I don't have a farm. That's not applicable to me. There's many scriptures that say this is what a woman should be doing and not be doing. I am not a woman. That's not applicable to me. And if it's for a woman, it's applicable for them. So the Bible clearly tells us what we should be doing and not be doing. The Ten Commandments are a great example of what we have the capability of accomplishing. There's more than the Ten Commandments. And when a Christian says to me is, no one's perfect, we can't keep the Ten Commandments. My reply is, don't you think it's you can pay back a wonderful Messiah or show him you love him by at least keeping a small percentage of the many things he asks us to do? If Ten Commandments were all there was, I would say yes, no one's perfect, there's always only one perfect, and that was Yeshua Messiah. But the Ten Commandments are only a fraction of what he asks us to do. And if we make up an excuse or go up the belief, we can't keep those, we can't keep all of those, well, why not? Why would he tell us to do it if we can't keep it? And if you sit down and look at the Ten Commandments, tell me why you can't keep them. The only reason you can't keep them is because you've been deceived to believe this. That's all there is. And if we keep Ten Commandments, then we are considering ourselves perfect. No, there's more than ten. And we will mess up even with the ten. But if we have the desire to follow them, the belief knowing we could follow them, we have His grace and His mercy. But if we purposely go make an excuse saying, well, nobody's perfect, we can't follow them. We can't follow a small percentage of them, but nobody's perfect. Then we run into a situation that many Christians find themselves in today. This misbelief and this poor understanding of Scripture. And it's not that Christians aren't reading their Bibles. They're just taught through deception of the enemy that certain things matter that don't, and certain things don't matter that do. And we need to get back to the true understanding. And here's what I'll ask you. If you're listening right now and you're a Christian, here's what I'm going to ask you. When is the last time, if at all, you sat down and opened up your Bible from Genesis 1:1 and began reading with a goal to read it all the way through, no matter how short or quick or long it took to get to the end of Revelations? Have you even ever read the full Bible? How can you call yourself a believer of our wonderful Creator, watch TV every single day, partake in pagan sports and the worldly ways every single day, have a great memory to know all the songs of all the words of pagan songs on the radio, but to leave your Bible sitting on your desk collecting dust and not have a desire to read it? That's an important question to ask yourself, folks. And I promise you, once you start reading your Scriptures and just pray that our Creator open your eyes to things you haven't seen before, He will. And if you've read it and read it over and over and you don't see that, that prayer will be answered if you pray that. Dear Heavenly Father, Yeshua, open my eyes to things I haven't seen before in these Scriptures. Show me your way and your truth that I desire to follow, not man's ways, and I no longer want to be deceived by the enemy. Praise the wonderful Creator. My name is Paul Neeson, folks. You can find me on my website, www.TorahLifeMinistries.org. I have a bunch of teachings. Every Friday night, we have a live teaching via YouTube at 10 p.m. You can get that through the top of my website where it says Google Hangout. If you're in the local South Florida area in Lake Worth, every Saturday at 3 p.m., we have a local fellowship. You can contact me at the number below this video or after at the on the website, or after this, you'll hear that. I pray that everyone will take this message to heart and have a desire to follow the ways of our Creator so you can be blessed abundantly. As it says in the Bible, if you follow my ways, all will be well with you. And if you want all to be well with you, we need to start living for what we were called to live for, and that is to be obedient to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, and thankful and never take it for granted for Him setting us free from death row by having Yeshua shed His blood for us. So we praise You. We thank You. Tune in next week. Until then, everybody, have a great day, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 334. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
All these years thought I could do it all, but there's a grace that wouldn't let me fall. I hear Your voice, God. God, I hear Your voice, God. All the things I know now, I wish I knew. I tried so hard, did all I could do. Now I hear.